Welcome. We are broadcasting live from the mothership. You are tuned in and listening to Starseed Energy Radio with your host Jonah Bolt. Starseed Energy Radio, where you can always tune in to hear the colors and see the music. Starseed Energy Radio goes live in 3, 2, 1.
What is the definition of, say, something square, a cube, a box, an object that has six equal sides, forming a space inside? Big enough. Something with hard edges and corners, flat sides. Mind you, a curved corner is okay. Am I backtracking? So alright, I'm making allowances for personal style and taste. And it's okay to have some soft edges. In fact, my own
And what's up, Star fam? You're tuned in and listening to Starseed Energy Radio, where you can always tune in on Friday nights at 11 p.m. to hear the colors and see the music. I am your host, Jonah Bolt. Today is Friday, September 2nd, 2011. And we have an awesome, great, fantastic, stupendous show tonight. We have an interview with Ryan, a college student who is local here in Asheville. And also we'll be interviewing later on in the show Monty, the keeper of the Crystal Pod. You can check out thecrystalpod.com in the meantime. We're going to start off tonight with some awesome breaking news, some good news. And this is coming from the Extraterrestrial Governance Council, known as the Andromedan Council. It has revealed that the War of the Liberation against a fourth-dimensional Orion Gray and Draco-Reptilian Alliance has been won by the forces of the Andromedan Council as of the third quarter of 2011. The occupation of Earth, our moon, and Mars by the Gray Reptilian Alliance is over. The defeated Gray Reptilian forces have been sent via Stargate into their far reaches of the universe. So that is the news flash of the good news coming through. And we've been talking about this for a while. Hopefully all the listeners that are listening are very aware of the gray and reptilian dark forces here on the planet and also other dimensions. So this news is awesome. The Andromedan Council represents states in his Exopolitics TV interview. So I'll have this up on the website, and you should really check this out. There's also an hour-and-a-half radio show as part of this that talks more in detail about it. Basically, the interview and also the article talk about the forces of the fourth dimension, the Orion Gray and Draco Reptilian forces. And they also talk about the ones that do remain on Earth, which is just a small pocket of isolated forces around really places like Washington, D.C. and other cities like that. Now, the proxy war for this, why we've been fighting, the proxy war to free the Earth is basically from thousands of years of negative energy bombardment, manipulation, and control by the global elite, the Dark Cables. Now, this proxy war was fought on the behalf of Earth by Star System and Planetary Council members, races of the Andromedan Council. So those members that bore the brunt of the burden and that ones that did the greatest amount of fighting were Arcturus. So shout out to my people from Arcturus, the Tau Ceti, and the Procyon. And many of the member races of the Council are acknowledged throughout the universe to be some of the same races that originally seeded Earth here hundreds of thousands of years ago. and as evidenced by the variety of humans on the planet today. It is said that these races have already been through the process of transformation, of upliftment, the elevated vibration, density, and spiritual consciousness of the fourth dimension. Now, the members of the Andromedan Council are from star systems and planets all over the universe. And just to give you a list of the 12 main star systems, you have Arcturus with the leading planet of Petola. You have the star system Antares with the leading planet of Nekoti. You have the star system M103 with their leading planet Ligola. You have star system Procyon with the leading planet of Cana. You have the star system Vega, which is the planet Percula. And now these are the leading planets, the home planets, the base planets for these parts of the solar system. There's multiple systems, multiple planets in these systems. So we're just giving you the top 12 council members and their leading planets. So you have also Capella with their planet Persia, the star system Polaris with their planet Ventura, and star system Sirius A. A big shout out to all my Syrians. I do know a lot of Syrians out there. And their leading planet Toleka, the star system Deneb, and their leading planet Ritola, and the star system Tau Ceti, and their leading planet Zeta, and star system Alina, with their leading planet Degrotha, and star system Betelgeuse, with their leading planet Etora. So those are the main star system planets, representatives on the Andromeda Council. And also one of the affiliated councils of the Andromedan Council is the Galactic Federation of Light, which we talk about all the time on the show. The Galactic Federation of Light is comprised of approximately 140 star systems and presents about over 300 planets. It is led by a chairman from the Tau Ceti star system, which itself has a formal seat as a senior chaired member of the Andromedan Council. And the Federation's lead planet is Zeta. It is expected over the course of the next few years as planet Earth adjusts to its new life in fourth dimension, as well as being part of a greater family of intelligent life, that it is thriving across the cosmos, planet Earth will be invited as a single member to join the Galactic Federation of Light. And that's what's up. That's what's up, StarFam. We finally get to join our star brothers and sisters in the upcoming years, and that is what is so exciting. Now, however, the Greys and Reptilians are still fighting for their lives. The small pockets that are here, they know the game for power and everything is out, and they're slipping away from them. So the gig is almost up. So be careful and be aware over these next 18 to 24 months as we get closer to the peak of 2012 and the shift, because they know they've lost and they're playing their last hand and they're doing anything they can to, you know, darken and spread that fear throughout the planet, because they thrive off that energy fear. So be in no fear no more. This is awesome news coming from our star family up there. So a big shout out to all the Arcturians, the Procyons, the Palladians, the Andromedans, and the Galactic Federation of Light. That is what's up. Shout out to all you guys listening out there, and good news to spread around. So we'll have this article up on the website, starseedenergyradio.com. Now on to some other things. We've been talking a lot about Comet Elenine coming back around this month, and we have some big alignments coming up on September 11th and also the 24th and 25th. So be aware. You might want to pack some extra supplies, get some water. I know I have. And you never know. To be aware is to be alive, so just, you know, be aware this month that there might be some heavy Earth changes in the upcoming 2 months, actually September and October. There's also, I reported last week, still here in the area, Asheville, there's been tons of helicopters still flying around, military copters and army planes all over the place. So there's definitely something going on out there. What? I do not know yet, but if I do hear something, I will, of course, report it. Now we're going to talk about a little country we've been speaking about lately called Libya. What is up with Libya? It is such a spin, and I keep bringing it up because I want to prove the importance of why this story should be paid attention to and repeated, and it's the center of attention now here in the U.S. that we're doing this great peacekeeping mission. We're helping the rebels, which is these Al-Qaeda rebels. Everybody knows Al-Qaeda is just CIA-funded, and this is not something that is going down the way the media here in the West and here in the country are portraying it. It's just not. So it's total propaganda. And what I want to do is I have researched Libya and found that a lot of interesting facts. And I'm going to go over some of these facts. Then we're going to talk to Ryan, who is a local recently graduated college student here. And I'll tell you a little bit more about him. But first, let's get into some facts of Libya. In 1951, Libya was the poorest country in the world. Number two, before NATO invasion, they now had the highest standards in Africa ahead of Russia, Brazil, and Saudi Arabia. Number three, in Libya, homes are considered a human right. Number four, the new married couples in Libya get $50,000 to buy their own home. Number five, all electricity is free in Libya to all the people. Number six, Gaddafi vowed when he took presidency to house every Libyan before his own parents. He did keep his promise, but his own father died before he was even housed. Number seven, before Gaddafi took power, one-fifth of the country was literate. It is now over 83%. Schooling and education in Libya is free, all schooling and education. Healthcare is free and also very high quality. If you cannot find either schooling, college, or healthcare anywhere in Libya, the actual government will fund to go abroad anywhere on the planet. So if you can't, if you need a heart transplant, Libya can't do it, they'll fund you. You want to go to Harvard, you're in Libya, they'll fund it. Healthcare is free. Oh, I said that. All loans are interest-free at 0% by law. If a Libyan buys a car, the government pays 50% of the price to match them. Any Libyan wishing to be a farmer is given free use of land, a house, equipment, livestock, and seeds. On July 1st, 1.7 million Libyans protested the NATO bombings, which was 95% of the capital and one-third of the country. The Central Bank of Libya is state-owned, unlike the West, and it is also debt-free and loans out debt-free money. Libya was working on changing Libya's oil away from the dollar to the gold African dinar, another reason why we didn't want Gaddafi doing that. Also, Libya itself was debt-free, not just the banks, but all of Libya was debt-free. It is now estimated that 30,000 Libyan civilians have been killed by the NATO bombings, which they're obviously not talking about here in the news. And Gaddafi believes in direct democracy as it is the Green Book, which is a book that he wrote called The Green Book. So with that, we are going to get Ryan Dernick on the line here from Asheville, North Carolina. And just to give you a little bit about Ryan himself, just to give you a history to show you that he is not just some young kid or whatever. He has an extensive resume for being young in his age and is extremely intelligent and bright. He has worked with the Fisher Group for 4 years down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, till he recently moved here. He was the creative assistant there, director, and also junior copywriter, and also was doing sales. He attended the University of Florida, where he became an editor there. He also did camera field light work and also shot a documentary. He also is a independent movie screenwriter where he did put together his own movie. He also worked for Panhandle Sports Broadcasting Corporation. He did camera lighting and editing there as well. He also worked at the Delray Beach Film Festival. Shout out to Delray Beach. That's where I just moved from. Where he worked with the Herschel Gordon Lewis acclaimed B-Gore filmmaker and also helped with the camera lighting there. He also worked with Blue Hour Films with the producing a commercial for the Hanley Rehabilitation Medical Center. And he's also worked with the Genesis Communications Network for the last year till present, doing journalism, news reporting, and all sorts of fun stuff. Like I said, he did attend the University of Florida and has recently moved up here and is plugged into everything and has been sending out really emails and reports and all sorts of fun stuff. So I've been receiving these things. I met Ryan a few weeks ago and figured he'd be a good voice, another voice to have on the show, just to show people that it is not just me and what I say, but there's also the young people out there that are also paying attention to what's going on and being proactive in finding out some of this information that's really misleading here in the West. And why it's so important to get this information out there is because these are facts. And from what I've always known about Libya and Gaddafi is that he's a tyrant, he's terrible, and blah, 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 and everything else bad. All I've heard is bad about him. But then once I started to research a little bit more of Libya, you come to see that if that is true, then why are all the other things I just mentioned true? Why they fax? How could he be so bad? How could a country be so bad at such a tyrant leader if electricity is free and everything else that I just mentioned? So with that, Ryan, are you joining us? Are you on the air?
Yes, I'm there.
Awesome. So you heard everything we just talked about with Gaddafi and how the country is. And first go into, if you have some more facts about Libya, what else can you tell us about Libya, pro-Libya, what's good about Libya?
Well, in the early 21st century, education at all levels were free there, and university students were given a very generous stipend, which encouraged them to pursue higher education and modernize the workforce. And for students from ages 6 through to 15 years of age, education was compulsory or mandatory, and then roughly 8% of Libya's entire budget was dedicated to supporting education up through university level. The revolutionary regime has considerably expanded, and the educational system that is there from the previous monarchy was further established. And all types of education there are seen as equal, since human knowledge there is viewed as inherent to building a modern civilization, which is a little dichotomous or contrary to what they purvey Gaddafi, especially Omar Gaddafi, over in the media, predominantly of Fox News and mainstream medias that say the converse to that and don't talk anything about the socialized healthcare systems, as you alluded to prior, that they have.
Yeah, yeah, and that's an amazing system, it sounds like, they have set up in Libya, and the spin is so great here. It's like we're helping the people and everything is, you know, for the people. Meanwhile, you know, more than 90-95% of the capital just protested for us not to be there because Gaddafi has done so much good in that country. And what else can you tell us about Libya and Gaddafi, since his regime?
Well, in regards to his regime, it's a Libyan, so it's a socialist regime, the People's Libyan Arab Party, and the adult amount of people that are literate is 76.2%, and 90% of the population of Libya are literate, and their predominant export actually of Libya, as we know, they're part of OPEC, is 1.4 million barrels of oil. And then the other extraneous side note here is that the Libyan Sovereign Wealth Fund, which is one of the prime buildings, which is one of their financial buildings that had a lot of data in regards to the fact that they bankrolled Sarkozy, who was the French president. He said that we should go in because it's a humanitarian issue. So we go, as you said prior, with these kinetic bombing efforts that are called humanitarian. And he was bankrolled by a Gaddafi and the family and the people of Libya. So it looks very odd and anomalous to see someone being the poster child for UN and NATO efforts to go in and invade a country on a wrong pretense.
Absolutely. Now, when we were talking earlier a couple days ago, you mentioned that you actually in college met someone from Libya, a college student.
Yes, yes. All they had to do, they had 2 years of military, and then they were allotted further education. So it has a similar parallel to how in Israel there's vocational for the people of Israel that reside there, the vocational 2 years of military. And it's totally understandable. And the other alarming thing is that the Al-Qaeda faction that is infiltrated in Libya is part of the LIFG, which is the Libyan Islamic Fighting Group. And they were founded in the 1990s, and their goal was to bring down Gaddafi's government. So it's been long in the making, and when you had the destabilization previously of Egypt and other surrounding countries, you have a recipe where you will have infiltration. As Gaddafi said, this is an Al-Qaeda-linked foreign-based intervention. So it proves right there, again, is what you said about Al-Qaeda and having the affiliation with the CIA.
Absolutely. And why do you think it's so important for this information to get out there to, like, our listeners and to just everybody?
Because I believe information is key to being free, and knowledge is power. And as one of our greatest presidents, John F. Kennedy, said, man was born what he was meant to be, free and independent, and that goes for women as well. So
absolutely, and that's why we talk about this stuff on the show. And we're on a spiritual channel. We have a lot of spiritual people listen to this, and a lot of spiritual people out there might be like, you know, what are they talking about? Don't focus on the negative. And I hear that a lot, or you know, don't lower my vibration. But as you said, it's important to be aware of everything. You can't just focus on the love and the light, and that's it. Because if you're not aware of the problems and the issues in the world, how can you really spread awareness on everything? If more people were aware of what was really going on in Libya and not what the media was spinning here, well, that's spreading enlightenment, because they get enlightened by the spin and the West and how things are propagated, and they're somewhat awakened. They're awakened to the lies, and that spark, that awakenedness, kid, you know, will set you down the rabbit hole, and it's a good place to go.
And I agree fully on that.
Now, when we talk about Gaddafi and what you've learned in school, now before you started doing your own research, what have you heard about Gaddafi in Libya? I mean, what were you remember what you were taught in school or what you had heard previously?
All I was taught was he was a terrorist and a warmonger, and basically he wasn't given the staple as they gave now in the international crime courts in June 27, saying, "Oh, he's a war criminal." But we have tried to kill him in the past. We tried to take him out during the Reagan administration and bomb him, and he evaded a demise. He got off the ship that he was supposedly on. But I've learned a vast amount, and recently, what Ron Paul said in regards to Gaddafi, he may well have been a tyrant. But as such, he is no worse than many of the other people that we support and count on as allies. We see a pattern of relatively secular leaders in the Arab world being targeted for regime change, with the resulting power vacuum being filled by much more radical elements. I mean, all the flies in the ointment, and even now Syria, the NATO is looking for its next venture. Several different blueprints for military intervention in Syria are now being considered by NATO, powers, and allied states in the region, including the use of Turkish and Saudi troops to overthrow Assad's regime now. Now, so what they're doing is they're handing the torch over to other supposed rebels, which are just the more trained mercenaries that are under the auspice of Al-Qaeda, and Al-Qaeda is totally an indoctrination and an extension of the CIA and the defense.
That's right. That's the big war on terror. They all want to come here and kill us. It's the war on terror. True, given that there's a lot of fundamentalists out there that do not like the West and like the way, but the propaganda war on terror, which was the setup of 9/11, which would launch the war on terror, has gone so far. 10 years later, we're still in Afghanistan, Iraq.
Yeah.
We're in six countries now. Pakistan doing drone strikes in Somalia, and now we're going to spread to another one. So it's crazy, and this stuff is why the shift is happening and why the current system must go down, because these things cannot continue to go on. 30,000 civilians estimated killed. Who knows how many? I think I read 50,000 estimated wounded. That's crazy. That's almost 100,000 people hurt on a humanitarian mission. It doesn't make sense.
And on top of that, you have the Saudis. They've begun further building relations with Russia, and at the same time, you have Pakistan galvanizing and becoming better friends and having better relations with China. And the NATO-UN coalition seems like it might just splinter or break apart, and it'll probably just leave the American, British, and French troops there. So the Italians will probably forfeit on this, because they don't see it to be a really positive move. And honestly, geopolitically speaking, it's a faux pas here, because what it looks like is some kind of a military coup d'état by a foreign intervention way outside of Libya's borders.
Yeah, that's what's up. Well, awesome. We're going to have to end there, because I got a little bit more news to report. But thank you for joining us on the show, Ryan, and I'm sure I will speak to you soon.
Definitely. Have a good one.
All right. Take care. And going into also before we go into the interview, I just want to report a couple more stories. Going back to the Fukushima issue over there, Japanese news reported Thursday that they guesstimate that the radioactive cesium of 137, that's the one we always talk about. The media always talks about iodine levels. It's not the iodine that's as deadly as the cesium 137. They just released a report that it is equal to 168 Hiroshimas so far. Now, if the Japanese government just said that and they're saying 168, I would guess it's probably two or three times that because it's the Japanese media. But at least they're admitting it and they're coming clean, but that is not good. We talked about it is the world's worst nuclear accident ever. And the 60 Minutes of Australia just did a report last week, which we talked about in the show, which talked about how bad the entire world is going to is suffering from the nuclear fallout. Also, Jim Cramer talking about the U.S. stock markets opening sharply last week. Hired today is a phony HFT fraud. And we talked about this before. Now listen to this. Financial experts are implying this morning's 2% surge in stocks at the opening following horrible market news reeks of fraud perpetuated by high-frequency traders. Okay, so a report came out, horrible market news, the market opens up, jumps up 2% surge. That's BS, BS. In an apparent about schizophrenia market, Wall Street stocks surged at the market open with the Dow surging over 200 points and the NASDAQ jumping over 200 points as well. The opening sent CNBC news anchors and financial experts on a rampage, implying we're witnessing a fraud being perpetrated by high-frequency traders. A scientific study analyzed over 30 million economic actors shows that an elite 147 actors control a vast amount of global upstream and downstream financial transaction. So the elite control a vast amount of global upstream and downstream financial transactions, which means they do what they want. It's a fictitious game to keep you going. It is fraud. So do not buy into the stock market. FDA wages secret war on raw milk farmers using KGB-style spying and infiltration techniques. This has got to stop. There has been numerous reports and stories all over the country that they are raiding with SWAT teams raw milk farmers. After weeks of investigation, Natural News can now reveal that the U.S. Food and Drug Administration is waging a clandestine war on raw milk dairy farmers through a network of government spies who are coached on infiltration and social engineering techniques. Now, this is not good. Natural News can now also say that the existence of the elaborate spying operation has been confirmed through three different sources, all of which deem anonymity, as they fear being targeted by the FDA with armed raids, false arrests, and destruction of their property, as we've seen in all these other ones. One source did tell Natural News they feared the FDA would stage a Waco-style siege of their farm and invent some justification to assault the farmhouse and shoot them and their family. And yes, this is how much freedom has been lost in America today. They're raiding raw milk farms. What is up? A study also shows powerful corporations really do control the world's finances. A new report has come out, and for many years, conventional wisdom has said that the whole world is controlled by the monad elite, which we talk about here in the show, or more recently by the huge multinational corporations that seem to sometime control the very air we breathe. Now, new research by a team based in the ETH Zurich, Switzerland, has shown that what we've suspected all along is apparently true. The team has uploaded their results onto the preprint servers at AirXIV. So what we've been saying and many others has proven to be right in another report that came out that does show that the global elite are ruling. And one last article to go over before we go to Monty and talk about the Crystal Pod is a lawsuit. Obama White House allegedly bankrolled propaganda scam. Continue reading on examiner.com, which I'll also post on the StarCenergyRadio.com website. Obama White House allegedly bankrolled propaganda scam, which basically talks about the Obama Healthcare and Human Services Department spent millions of taxpayers' dollars on a guerrilla campaign, quote unquote, to track search engine web traffic and push internet search engine users to U.S. government websites promoting Obamacare, according to documents obtained in the lawsuit. A successful public interest group that investigates and prosecutes government corruption announced on Thursday evening that it has finally obtained documents from the Obama Department of Health and Human Services showing that the Obama White House helped coordinate a multi-million dollar taxpayer-funded campaign to use internet search engines such as Google and Yahoo to drive web traffic to a government site promoting the affordable healthcare known as Obamacare. Those are facts, people. There are facts, and there's lots of them going on. And with that, sit back, relax, and enjoy another track. Elevated. And welcome back. That was another track from the album Space, Ibiza Dance, and that's the album I'll be playing throughout the night. That was another awesome track. Love that album. And now we're going to talk to Monty, who is the keeper guardian of the Crystal Pod. Just to give you a background of what the Crystal Pod is, every several thousand years, the greatest keepers, record keepers of the quartz kingdom come forth from Mother Earth to instruct humanity. Cathedral quartz can be a portal to untold myriads of historical data. The cathedral crystal cluster pictured above and below on his website, which you can check out, which is thecrystalpod.com, referred to as the pod. It's almost 4 feet tall, 1,500 pounds total. And the name of the pod was given to the cluster because it carries the harmonic energy of a pod of dolphins or whales. And joining me now on the show is Monty. Monty, how you doing?
Hey, Jonah.
I'm doing good. Awesome.
Kind of ironic we're talking about whales with Mr. Jonah here.
Yeah, Jonah the whale. Yeah, it's a good one. In fact, I even heard a comment today from a lady. She said, "I'm so glad that you made it out of the whale." So am I. Never gets old. So let's first talk about your own personal awakening, when it happened, how it happened, and how you got to the pod.
Well, it's kind of interesting. I was just kind of sitting here reflecting in anticipation of coming on the show tonight, and it occurred to me that it was just a little less than a year ago in September where I was just plugging along with my normal life. As a consultant for corporations and was, chasing the dollar and trying to count my blessings in this time of recession, that I actually had a lot of work lined up for the year and was doing well. And one of the things that I do as a hobby, kind of on the side, on the sly, is I'm a collector of rocks and minerals and crystals. I have been for my entire life. I mean, as a child, I was the kid that my mom stopped at the door before I came in from playing outside because she wanted me to empty my pockets because inevitably they'd be filled with rocks and things that would be messing up the house. So a year ago, in September, 23rd specifically of 2010, one of my crystals, actually a lot of my crystals became what I call active. And active is when they start to change in color and vibrational frequency. And maybe even start sporting some really wild rainbows and stuff. And that was when this crystal that I acquired from Tibet, it's a Tibetan quartz crystal that was found deep in the mountains underneath that region area, started to activate with an extremely vivid, recognizable image on the face of the crystal. You could see with your naked eye just looking at it. So that's kind of what stopped me dead in my tracks in regards to what I was up to in life and sent me out touring the United States and Canada and all over the place sharing what would unfold in regards to the information and the photographs I was able to take from that crystal.
Yeah, it's really interesting that another friend of ours, Mario, the keeper of Poncho, the Crystal Skull, we were all pretty much awakened about a year and a half ago, and it seems all three of us had come from sort of a corporate lifestyle, just on the grind, making money, and all of a sudden, like a blink of an eye, and something happens where we receive our mission. And you believe this is your mission, this is what you're doing now. And how did you first accept the mission? Like, what were your first instincts when you got it, when you're awakened and you're like, this is my mission, I need to get these crystals and do it? Like, how did your family react?
Well, I was kind of in doubt myself when the first image appeared in the crystal, which is the one that you actually see on the website, thecrystalpod.com. I didn't really believe my eyes. I have very active activity with my crystals, and so I see a lot of things and kind of commune with different beings. And this time I took a picture with my cell phone. So you're actually looking at a cell phone photo there on the website. And I sent it to five of the most skeptical people I know that aren't into crystals, that go to church every Sunday type people. And just sent the photo and asked them, "What do you see?" And every single person got back to me and said, wow, how'd you get that rainbow face on that crystal? And at that point, I realized that what I had been experiencing in my life was now being manifested in our three-dimensional world for me to share with other people. And so the family, at first, were a little bit freaked out, to be honest. You look at this thing live and in person, and it's disconcerting because it rocks your belief systems. And some people say it's, you know, kind of spooky or whatever, because it is not part of the teachings of any of the belief systems that modern-day humans have. Although it's very ancient technology and it's ancient teaching, we've fallen so far from that it's something that actually can scare people at first when they see it. So the family didn't take it too well. My wife was a little bit freaked out. And,
I can imagine.
Through all that before the transition of my life's mission began.
Yeah, I remember the weekend I was activated and realized I was a starseed and sort of what my mission was. When I came back, my family right away noticed a difference. They were like, whoa, something has happened to you. This is a new you and I don't like it and da-da-da. And they were in fear because it was sort of a different vibrational tone, if you will, of information that things just didn't mean – certain things didn't mean, you know, anything to me anymore, like the plasma TVs and the stuff like that. And you have come from a very, you know, posh lifestyle and background. You were doing good and making money and all that. And I'm sure that most of those things have left your lifestyle or your life now as well, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely different value system completely. I mean, think about the concept here that this one photo that you see is one of over 400 photos that I was able to take from this crystal of dozens and dozens of faces of all different beings through all the lineages of history on Earth and beyond, going all the way back to original starseed ancient astronauts that came to this Earth that we now refer to as aliens. When you finally learn the history of our planet, they're less alien than we are. We've been here a lot less time than they have. And it's interesting you use the word starseed because the first empathic message that came through with the first image was just simply that, starseed.
Wow.
So these images don't just come through in 3D holographic images. They come through with layers of information. And one of those layers is the empathic information, which is a message that comes with the images.
So basically an entire community of ET races and their faces have been showing up on these crystals in like full holographic images, and people can't explain it, and people that see it can't explain it, and the messages you get from these faces coming in the crystals, what are they?
Well, it varies a great deal, and there's really not enough time on this show to get into all of it. But in a nutshell, what it is a explanation as to our origins, how we got here, where we came from, things in regards to the intention of these ancient ancestors of ours. And I had to put together a one-hour slideshow presentation just selecting the top 50 faces, so just headshots. And it takes a good hour, even with the images, to answer that question properly.
So all the faces that you take pictures of that are in the crystals are all different beings with basically different messages, different histories?
Yeah, some of them have empathic messages with them, and some don't. That's just an image. You know, I can sit there and meditate, hold a stone, you know, go into my Zen state of communing with the crystal, and instead of a doornail, it's just a face. It's just an image. Whereas others definitely have more to say. So it varies. Either that, or I just haven't really achieved the right vibrational frequency yet to tap the the messages that come through with those faces, but I would say only about maybe a third of the faces I've actually been able to acquire empathic messages from.
Now, when you're with other people that are around these the crystals, like when you do one of your workshops or have something like the crystalline convergence you just did not too long ago, do the rainbow beings have messages for other people as well?
No, it's nothing specific. People will come and look for healings or look for personal inquiries, and the crystal really is a device. So you got to think of it as a crystal chip. You know, we work off of our computers, which are microchips, mm-hmm. Which is quartz crystal, you know, extremely refined. These are raw crystals that are uncut, unpolished. And so the information that's on there is data. It's been imprinted on there and with a very advanced technology, obviously. So it's not like some sort of a library, access library, although if a person is familiar with portaling through crystals, you can actually open up, you know, portals with certain crystals in which you can become real-time present to beings in other dimensions or just in other spaces or places. And at that time, you can ask questions, but I don't really facilitate that with this crystal.
Now, when I first met you a few months ago when I was up in New York, I met Mario and you, and I actually got a chance to be with the crystal pod. When you walk in the room, you could feel the energy. And now it was one big mother crystal that you call, and then there's a bunch of smaller clusters of these cathedral quartz crystals. How did you collect all these different crystals? Did you find them all at the same time, or how did you get them all together?
Well, the first introduction to these cathedral quartz crystals was through basically an empathic draw. I was just led to seek these crystals out. I found them out in the middle of the desert of Arizona in a dusty warehouse, basically. And once I was able to commune with these crystals and the information started coming through, then I was led to other crystals from the same exact cluster. So, you know, crystals
wow.
grow in clusters and caves. This specific cluster came from very, very deep caves in Brazil. Some of the other crystals of the family, I call it a family. So they all grew in a spiral cluster. It's a spiral cluster that starts with a mother crystal that's like 4 feet tall, and then it stair steps down in a spiraling configuration of about a 5 foot diameter spiral. And some were missing, you know, because the miners had sent them out. And so I had to track down across the nation several of the other members of this specific quartz family.
Wow, basically all these big chunks of cathedral quartz were found in this mine in Brazil, and over the years they were sold to this one and kept this one, and you were basically intuitively led all over the country to find the family again, put them back together, and now they're being revealed to us. Why are they being revealed to us now?
Well, I just want to make sure we create a distinction here. We're talking about two separate things. First of all, the Tibetan crystal is the crystal with all of the rainbow faces and all of the images. The cathedral quartz cluster, which we call the pod, actually they named themselves the pod, that's a completely different tool that came forth for instructing mankind at this time. The quartz came with a separate guide group, and that guide group of conscious beings led me to, or actually downloaded information to me in regards to a large, I guess it's a device that the quartz sits in the center of, and it's a large pyramid made out of copper. And you know, they're very specific about the geometry, 12.56 by 12.56. It's very tall pyramid. It's not like the pyramids of Giza. The angles are completely different, and this is used for a projector. And so, basically, you're opening up etheric vortex with the crystal cluster in this pyramid, and with the intention that the people that gather at this event, which is called the Crystalline Convergence of Remembrance, which is what I've been traveling around the country doing, everybody speaks their intention for humanity into the quartz cluster, and then we project that out into the community to align and increase the collective consciousness of humanity, you know, so that we can all start getting on the same page and put behind us these prehistoric pursuits of basically damaging Mother Earth and ourselves in the process.
Gotcha. Okay, so the Tibetan quartz, that one is the one that projects different faces, and the cluster, the pod, is really like a magnifier, an amplifier to help us amplify and magnify our intentions right now to help heal the planet.
Correct. And it also is a massive storehouse of information from the history of Earth's beginning. So I've had some traditional North American Indians from the Pueblos, when they encounter this crystal cluster, they just drop to their knees and bust into tears if they're at all sensitive with the ancient wisdom from crystals. And, you know, people recognize, well, you met the cluster and you're not into crystals. You walk into the room and you can feel it.
Absolutely.
And I've had some people that have been into crystals for 40 years who were kind of poo-pooing it. They were like, oh, yeah, I've seen it all. And they get in front of the pod, and they're humbled because it is this incredible light-brary. So that's a library of light and information. So people have a completely different experience with the pod than they do with the Tibetan crystal.
Wow. So what are your upcoming plans, you know, coming up with these next year or so with the pod? Are you planning on touring around the country, or what are your upcoming plans to do with the pod?
Well, to date, I've been traveling with the pod at an absolute financial loss, so it's cost me a little over $50,000 out of my pocket to travel around and put on
this
event.
Yes, Spirit does that.
I basically tapped all my reserve, especially since I haven't had any income. I was out on the road. So for right now, the pod's kind of resting at home base in the Annapolis, Maryland area, and we're waiting for the call of, you know, a group of people that would like to have the pod come to their area, and, you know, we'll talk about what that costs to get it there, because I had to acquire a special dually diesel pickup truck that pulls an army trailer to haul. Not just the pod, but, you know, a couple thousand pounds of my own personal crystals I bring to the event, where we do crystal readings and different things for people when we're out and about. So at this point, the pod's resting, you know, in Annapolis, Maryland, and we're doing small meditation events, but not setting up the pyramid, opening up the vortex, and doing any projecting or any incoming right now. We're just waiting for the next event to emerge and where the pod's supposed to go and where it'll be sustained financially to go there. So.
Gotcha. Now, before we go, I want to talk a little bit also about what you think or what you feel about these next couple months, because we've been talking about this a lot with the comet Elenine or the blue star Kachina coming around. What are your personal thoughts and feelings about this? Because it's a big talk, you know, in the spiritual community.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was this time last year that some of the alignments started occurring with that heavenly body that's entering our solar system. And it was this time last year when my crystals started to vibrate off the shelf and activate. So definitely the switch has been turned on. This is a very unique heavenly body, and it's being downplayed, of course. You know, if it was Halley's Comet, we'd all be hearing about it, and everybody'd be marking their calendar and, you know, getting ready to stand outside. But on this one, you know, NASA's kind of hush-hushed everything, which absolutely tells me we're talking about something completely different when the you know, the false information campaign starts to heat up and they're ignoring things and downplaying things, that always actually gets my attention. I don't know how they're
absolutely
that they think, you know, that they think we don't get that by now. But
well, now I'm breaking up. The comet's breaking up. There's nothing to worry about.
Right. Exactly. False information. You know, that's the oldest trick in the book is just to confuse the masses and they'll stop thinking and go back to watching The Simpsons. So, you know, I truly believe that the next 90 days here are going to be very pivotal in regards to some potential activity on our planet in encountering this heavenly body. But more importantly, it's going to give us some insight as to what the Red Kachina is going to bring next year. Mm. So we've got, you know, two heavenly bodies that have been coming through and visiting our solar system for millenniums. And it's nothing new. And I think we really should pay attention to it. And I think it's an opportunity for humanity to just stop and think about the big picture of the history of our existence. And these types of things make us stop and go, wow, you know, our ancestors, the Hopi, the Mayans and others, seen these heavenly bodies and related them directly to cataclysmic events on planet Earth that wake us up and stop us and make us think about what we're doing. And I think it's time for us to do that, obviously.
Absolutely.
That's an understatement.
That's right. Well, Monty, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking about the Crystal Pod. And we will have you on the show again, I'm sure, soon. And I'm sure I will be speaking to you soon. So thank you very much for coming on.
Did you want to give my email out in case people want to contact me?
Sure. The website's thecrystalpod.com. And go ahead. What's your email?
My email is monteuma@yahoo.com. So that's monteuma@yahoo.com. If what, you know, I've been talking about resonates with you or you'd like to have the pod, you know, out in your community, let's talk, because that's really what I'm up to nowadays, and I'd love to facilitate that.
That's what's up. Monty, on a mission. Thank you, my star brother, and I will be talking to you soon. And with that, I'm going to play one more track from Space Ibiza Dance, and I'll do a quick wrap-up after this next track.
'75, we brought you an album with a song.
Welcome back, Star Fam. That was another track from Space, the album Space, and Ibiza Dance is the name of the album. And thank you so much, Monty, again, for coming on the show, and also for Ryan. That was two very cool interviews. And joining me next week, August 9th, is Beloved. Beloved is a visionary and artist and sound alchemist whose passion is activating sleeping souls, serving as an angelic messenger. I relate to that. Her website is theawakeningsoul.com. The week after that, we got Richard Schulman in the house. Richard is awesome. I've met him and hung out with him a bunch of times. Really cool. And also helping him, Beloved, and Delia with their event, which is coming up here in Asheville at the Light Center. And that's on the 21st, the same day as the International Day of Peace. So if you're local and you're listening to this, definitely attend that event because it's going to be awesome. That is for the fall equinox. Now, Richard Schulman, he's a composer, a pianist, and recording artist. He has also done 24 albums. He's also performed for the Carnegie Hall, the United Nations, and a wide variety of venues. The week after – oh, his website is richheartmusic.com. The week after that, September 23rd, we got Delia, also part of the Fall Equinox event. And Delia also works with high frequencies, and she's also committed to seeing, being, and serving the truth and light. Her website is thevoiceoflife.com. And September 30th, we have Dale Allen Hoffman, one of the world's leading spiritual Aramaic translators and teachers. And Dale's website is daleallenhoffman.com. So we have some awesome interviews and guests coming up, so stay tuned. And be aware these next couple weeks, Star Fam, because the time is now. There are definitely some earth changes coming up. Start spreading awareness. People are waking up. And we are the Star Children. We are love. We are light. And no one or no power can stop us. This is our time. This is our mission. And with that, Star Fam, have an awesome week. Thanks for tuning in. I am your host, Jonah Bolt. Check out my Twitter, Facebook, and the website, starseedenergy.com, for all updates in the upcoming weeks. And with that, enjoy the last track